जय राधा माधव कुंजा विहारी गोपी जना बल्लभ गिरि बनजाई जन बल्लभा गिरि बनजारी यशोर रंजन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोर रंजन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना क्षीरावन चारी यमुना क्षीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव
जैन के लील प्रविष्ट अस्तर श्री श्रीमन भगवान जय श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपद से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य गौर भक्ति बंद की जाए श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंद गोपाल गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंदरारी गोवान की जाए ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद भागवत राम की जाए परमेश्वर की जाए मंदोड़ी की जाए श्रीवास की जाए मन की जाए गौर विवेकानंदी ऑल ग्लोरी श्री समुद्रवती ऑल ग्लोरी श्री समुद्रवती All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 13, text number 29. Evam Raja Veduranena. Evam Raja Vedunana. I had this all down real quick. Evam Raja Vidurenanujena. Pragna Chakshu Bodhita Ajamida. Chitvasve Susneha Pasham Dradimno. Nishchakrama Bhatrir Sandarshitadva. Evam Raja Vidurana Nune Jena. Ragna Chakshu Bodhita Hajamida. Chitvase Susneha Pashandra Dinno. Nishchakrama Bhatrir Sandarshitadva. Evam Raja Vidurana Nune Jena. Ragna Chakshu Bodhita Ajamida. Vasesu sneha pasham drajimno
Vasesu sneha pasham drajimno
Nischa krama batri sandarshi tadva
Nischa krama batri sandarshi tadva
Please chant.
Evam raja viduranujena
Evam raja viduranujena Vasesu sneha pasam gradinno Nishtha kama bhakti sandarshi tadva Evam, thus, Raja, King Dhritarashtra, Vidura Anujena, by his younger brother Vidura, Pragna, introspective knowledge, Chakshu, eyes, Bodhita, being understood, Ajamita, Dhritarashtra, the scion of the family of Ajamita. These next two Sanskrit words, very interesting. Chitva and Sneha Pasun, by breaking the strong network of affection. Nice phrase there. Chitva, by breaking. Svesu, regarding kinsmen. Sneha Pasan, strong network of affection. Jadimna, because of steadfastness. Nishchakrama, got out. Bratri, by his brother,
Sandarshita,
direction to
Adva,
the path of liberation.
Translation.
Thus Maharaj Dhritarashtra, the scion of the family of Ajamita, firmly convinced by introspective knowledge, Pragna, broke at once the strong network of familial affection by his resolute determination. Thus he immediately left home and set out on the path of liberation as directed by his younger brother Vidura.
Purport of Srila Prabhupada.
Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great preacher of the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, has stressed the importance of association with sadhus, pure devotees of the Lord. He said that even by a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can achieve all perfection. We are not ashamed to admit that this fact was experienced in our own practical life. Were we not favored by his divine grace, Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, by our first meeting for only a few moments, it would have been impossible for us to accept this mighty task of describing Srimad Bhagavatam in English. Without seeing him at that opportune moment, we could have become a very great business magnate, but never would we have been able to walk the path of liberation and be engaged in the factual service of the Lord under the instructions of his divine grace. And here is another practical example by the action of Vidura's association with Dhritarashtra. Maharaj Dhritarashtra was tightly bound in a network of material affinities related to politics, economy, and family attachment. And he did everything in his power to achieve so-called success in his planned projects. But he was frustrated from the beginning to the end so far as his material activities were concerned. And yet, despite his life of failure, he achieved the greatest success of all in self-realization by the forceful instructions of a pure devotee of the Lord, who is the typical symbol, its typical emblem of a sadhu. The scriptures enjoin, therefore, that one should associate with sadhus only, rejecting all other kinds of association. And by doing so, we'll have ample opportunity to hear the sadhus, who can cut to pieces the bonds of illusory affection in the material world. It is a fact that the material world is a great illusion because everything appears to be tangible reality, but at the next moment it evaporates like the dashing foam of the sea or a cloud in the sky. A cloud in the sky undoubtedly appears to be reality. Excuse me. A cloud in the sky undoubtedly appears to be a reality because it rains. And due to rain, so many temporary green things appear. But in the ultimate issue, everything disappears, namely the cloud, the rain, and the green vegetation, all in due course. But the sky remains, and the varieties of sky or luminaries also remain forever. Similarly, the absolute truth, which is compared to the sky, remains eternally, and the temporary cloud-like illusion comes and goes away. Foolish living beings are attracted by the temporary cloud, but intelligent men are more concerned with the eternal sky with all of its variegatedness. Om Jnanatima Randasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chaksuhun Vitamina Tasmai Sri Guru Maha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pandum Manjayati Yakripa Yande Sri Guru Mukhari Vanchakalpa Tsurubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaheva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnadevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Shukarava Shubhasi Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. My constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune, and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisance is unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. on the list of purports that are just dynamic and slam it all in there. This has got to be in the top 10. I mean, Prabhupada just lays it all right out here. This is such a powerful and important purport. Prabhupada notes that in ancient times, when one would be introduced, they would state their father's name, in many cases even their grandfather's name, and then the village. And actually, all of this information would be included in the name. When you said your name, the person here would be able to understand all these things just by hearing your name. Just like in our famous Lohi Bazaar. There's a shop there that's very famous amongst all the devotees, Ganga Prasad's. Ganga Prasad is not anybody in that shop. Ganga Prasad's not even the father who's long passed away. Ganga Prasad's the grandfather. He started the shop. So this is the way it's carried on with the successive generations. I remember back in the late 70s, I was a bit friendly with some of the shopkeepers then and, you know, kind of hung out down there. At any rate, I was told of one shopkeeper that had opened up his own shop, young man, and put his own name on the billboard signage instead of that of the father or the grandfather, and went into business like this. And at the time, this was considered a great scandal in Lohi Bazaar that he had done something so disrespectful. Now it's done all the time. But at any rate, at that time, nearing the end of that culture, the name indicated all these things. So we see here in this verse today, the verse opens identifying Dhritarashtra as coming in the family of Ajamita. So I thought it should be appropriate that we look at who is this Ajamita. For that information, it's very easy. We can just go to the ninth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 22, and find that information very clearly given. Sometimes, those of us that are giving classes have to, when we're looking for this history, we have to do a lot of research. It takes a lot of effort, and, you know. But here, we're very fortunate. It's in this exact same book that we're reading, Srimad Bhagavatam. One thing to note, this particular reference we're going to make here, is a lengthy list of who begat who. This one came from this one, this one from this one, this one, like that. Now, usually these are skimmed over at best. You know, devotees are reading, he's going, okay. But, well, like for instance, in the sixth chapter of the second volume of the Krishna book, the genealogical family of Lord Krishna. You know, names of some of which we have no clue who they are. But they're listed for a very good reason, because they give a reference point to the personality's life. So in the same way, listening to this list, we're going to see at the conclusion why it's mentioned. So, the son of Devodasa was Mitrayu, who had four sons, one after another, Shravana, Sudas, Sahadev, and Sumoka. Sumoka had 100 sons, of whom the youngest was Prishata, from whom Drupada was born. Drupada's daughter was Draupadi, and his sons were headed by Drishtadyumna. Drishtadyumna's son was Drishtaketu. Another son of Ajamita was Riksha. From Riksha came a son named Samvarna, and from Samvarana, and from Samvarana came Kuru, the king of Kurukshetra. Kuru had four sons, Parikshi, Sadanu, Janu, and Nishada. Among the descendants in the dynasty from Sudanu were Sohotra, Shaivana, Kriti, and Uparichari, Uparichari Vasu. The sons of Uparichari Vasu include Brihadrata, Kushamba, Matsya, Pratyagara, and Chedipi, some who became the king of the Chedi state. In the dynasty of Brihadrata came Kushagra, Rishab, Satyahita, Pushpavan, and Janu. And from Brihadrata, through the womb of another wife, came Jarasandha, He was followed by Sahadev, Somapi, and Shutashrava. Parikshit, the son of Kuru, had no sons. Among the descendants of Janu were Surata, Vidhurata, Sarvadharma, Jayasena, Radhika, Ayutayu, Akrodana, Devatiti, Riksha, Dilipa, and Pratipa. The sons of Pratipa were Devapi, Santanu, and Balika. When Devapi retired to the forest, his younger brother Santanu became the king. Although Santanu, being younger, was not eligible to occupy the throne, he disregarded his elder brother. Consequently, there was no rainfall for 12 years. Any place where there's a doubt, they might want to look at their political structure. Consequently, following the advice of the Brahmana, Santanu was ready to return the kingdom to Devapi, but by the intrigue of Santanu's minister, Devapi became unfit to be the king, a whole story within itself. Therefore, Santanu resumed charge of the kingdom, and with the blessings of the Brahmins, the rain fell properly during his regime. By mystic power, Devapi still lives in the village known as Kalapa Gram. In this Kali Yuga, when the descendants of Soma, known as Chandravamsa, the lunar dynasty, die out, Devapi, at the beginning of Satya Yuga, will reestablish the dynasty of the moon. The wife of Santanu, named Ganga, gave birth to Bhishma, one of the 12 Mahajans. Two sons named Chittaganda and Vichitavirya were also born from the wife of Satyavati by the descendant of Santanu, and Vasudev was born from Satyavati by the descendant of Parashuram. Vyasudev instructed the history of the Bhagavatam to his son Sukadev. Through the womb of the two wives and the maidservant of Vichitavirya, Vyasudev begot Pandu, Vidura, and Dhritarashtra. Well, there's the connection. So there we have the link to understand who was this. Now, throughout this list of names, many of them were people we didn't know, but many of these names, oh yeah, I know, oh yeah. So we see the overall connection and the responsibility that goes with that title, being in that family line. The responsibility that one carries coming in a family line from a particular individual is duly noted here. In our modern society, this isn't given so much concern. You know, one doesn't necessarily follow in the mood, what to speak of the livelihood, or even the morality of the father, or the grandfather, or the ancestors like that. But in these previous times, this is a very important thing. We see in this one situation, just because of a usurping of the kingdom in an inappropriate way, or not necessarily usurping, but assuming the kingdom in an inappropriate way, there was a drought. It lasted for 12 years. The Brahmins had to intervene and do a big jugga, and I'm sure lots of ghee and grains and so on. And the drought was finished. So in these times, this was a very important understanding as to who you were coming from, what the lineage was, and the responsibility you carried with this. This is why, this is a clear example as to why Dhritarashtra, to be frank, was more or less an embarrassment. You know? I mean, aside from being blind materially, he was blind spiritually. So he had no understanding, and even morally, the things that he tried to do to the Pandavas, if you look at this line, they are certainly not in conjunction with the heritage he carries on his shoulders. Nonetheless, we see, we all know the history, and Vidura steps in to try and correct this. Now, the next important point, the most important point Prabhupada makes right off the bat in this purport is exemplified by this verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita that we all know. It's Madhya Lula, chapter 22, text 54. Sarusanga, sarusanga, sarva, lashtakoi. Lava, matra, sarusanga, sarva, siddhi, hoi. This lava, this is very nice. The verdict of all revealed scriptures is that even a moment's association with a pure devotee will give one all success. Now, the key word in this verse is lava. The translation says even a moment. Technically, if you take a moment, just a second, right? Moment is another word for a second. So you take a second and you divide it into 11 parts. How minuscule is that? That 1/11th of a part is called a lava. By that minimal amount of association with the sadhu, one can be delivered. Such a small portion of time, given in the correct way, can give the greatest result. Now, what to speak of a lengthy amount of time, such as Vidura is spending on his brother. He knows his brother is materially blind, of course. He knows his brother is spiritually blind, obviously, by looking at him. And Vidura, in the mood of a sadhu, speaks to him in the most unkind words. You're like a household dog living on the scraps of Bhima. But he does so with no animosity. It's harsh words, but there's no anger or resentment in those words. They're factual words. This is what a sadhu does. Wake up. In Boston, this is called a dope slap. You know, whoa, what's the matter with you? You know? So this is how Vidura is dealing with his brother. I mean, after all, it is his brother, you know? So he says to him like this, you're like a household dog living on the scraps of Bhima. Now, in those days, this was a much greater insult than it is nowadays. Dogs live a pretty glorious life in our modern society. Whether it's India or America, I've seen it in India. I remember seeing this. There was a gentleman on the Parikram Marg in Vrindavan, and he had his little dog on a leash with him. One of those little lap dog thingies, you know? And I guess the dog gets the benefit too. But, you know, I see this at Lowe's quite often. The people come in with their little dog, and they've got him in a little carrier being pushed around. All dressed up nice, with little clothes on, you know. Sometimes the dog even gets fed at the same table as the person. I'm tempted many times to say to the person, you do know the dog's got four legs, and you've only got two, right? So it can walk. But, you know, I don't say anything. So, you know. I actually saw one time, I'm not making this up. You have to work at Lowe's to not make this stuff up. Individual came in with their little puppy dog, set it in the kid's seat on the car that's set up like a racing car, and put the dog's little front legs, hands, on the wheel, you know? I'm like, all right, you've really crossed the line here. So that's not the way it was back in these times. The dog was not treated quite so nicely, you know? Didn't have such a comfy life. So this was a really serious insult. You're just like a household dog. And this really had to cut Dhritarashtra, coming from his brother. You know, sometimes, I don't know about all of you, I grew up with five, you know, kids in the family, and sometimes siblings can say some pretty slicing stuff to each other, you know? And, you know, you might say, you're my brother, how can you talk to me like that? I'm sure Dhritarashtra had some feeling of this, but Vidura has spent the previous 11 verses to this speaking like this, frankly and directly to the deplorable condition of Dhritarashtra. You know, just laying it out on the line. What's he got to lose? Vidura's already an outcast. Nobody wants him around, and he's perfectly happy with that. He can travel like a sadhu, he can go here, he can go there. You know, he, out of all the three boys that were given birth, you know, he actually came out ahead, you know, because he got to be a sadhu. So this lava of time is all the association needs. So Vidura is giving much more than that. And in this way, by that association, by that direction, by that instruction, Dhritarashtra's spiritual life is salvaged. And we all know Prabhupada's personal history. But here he does something which he would rarely do in a class, and that is that he speaks about himself. Sometimes Prabhupada would do that. He would say something, you know. And not in an honorific way necessarily, you know, but in a factual way as being a recipient of the mercy of his guru. I'll just restate this. We are not ashamed to admit that this fact was experienced in our own practical life. Were we not favored by his divine grace, Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, by our first meeting with him for only a few moments, it would not have been possible for us to accept the mighty task of translating Srimad Bhagavatam in English. Without seeing him at that opportune moment, we could have become a very great business magnate, but never would have been able to walk the path of liberation and be engaged in the factual service of the Lord under the instructions of his divine grace. Now, in that paragraph, Prabhupada makes a couple of points. Excuse me. One is an indirect, but for those of us who are knowledgeable, clear reference to the lava point. You know, that only a few moments association, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. The second is, as Prabhupada mentions in a class on Queen Kunti in 1973, he says, one astrologer told me, you should have become like Birla. For those of you who don't know, Birla is like the Fords or the Rockefellers, or no, Gates nowadays, it'd be Bill Gates, yeah. So there were some chances, very good chances. I was the manager in a big chemical factory. I started my own factory. The business was very successful, but everything was dismantled. I was forced to come to this position to carry out the order of my Guru Maharaj. So Prabhupada points out that his direction in life was one way. We have a similar thing in the life of Narottam Das Thakur, where an astrologer indicates something that would be very detrimental. In Prabhupada's case here, the astrologer indicated you could have become one of the wealthiest men in India. And it would have been completely opposite of what we know Prabhupada for. Narottam's chart, it was indicated that all the astrologers are giving very, very good reports. And one astrologer took his father aside, Krishnananda Dutt, and told him, you know, this is a very bad thing here with your son and rivers. You've got to keep him away from rivers, otherwise his life is finished. The astrologer and the father took that to mean that he was going to die. And technically, that part of him did die, because by associating with that river, Padmavati, he got the prema from Mahaprabhu, and his life took a completely different direction. In the same way, Prabhupada's life took a completely different direction by that few moments, as he says, of association with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Prabhupada equates himself with Dhritarashtra, not in an arrogant way of I'm as good as him, but in the way of one who has received the mercy of a sadhu and had their life brought to perfection. Now, all of us can't help but feel the same when we look at our own lives, you know. Such an amazing list of disqualifications we all have. You know, Div and I are both Midwest boys, and, you know, anyway, we'll just leave it at that. But, you know, the disqualification for being engaged in devotional service is far outweighed by any qualifications which are not even present. So, we see that the life we currently lead, though, has been completely altered. And this was all done by the association with Srila Prabhupada and his teachings. Prabhupada said this. So what is the benefit of associating with the sadhu? Here Prabhupada notes it very clearly. The scriptures enjoin, therefore, that one should associate with sadhus only, rejecting all other kinds of association. And by doing so, one will have ample opportunity to hear the sadhus who can cut to pieces the bonds of illusory affection in the material world. One should associate with sadhus only. I just happened to see this thing I keep in my folder here, and I had forgotten about it and didn't reference it for this class, but I'm going to mention it here. It's from the Vishnu Purana, and it's called The Householder's Duties. And one here... in regards to association. The wise should not make friends with nor travel with one who has a bad reputation, one who is a fallen person, one who is an alcoholic, or one who has many enemies, or one who is infested with bugs, excuse the next one, with a prostitute or her pimp, or with a degraded person or a liar. These are all the people one should not associate with. And each one of those represent qualities that are completely contrary to a sadhu. So Prabhupada's point is very well documented, very secure, that one should associate with sadhus only, rejecting all other kinds of association. And by that association, one will have ample opportunity to have the knots of their illusion cut. Repeatedly, in Prabhupada's lectures, he refers to the word sadhu as meaning one who cuts our ties to this material world. To cut something very tight, if you have a very hard knot, you require something very sharp. You know, sometimes you get a rope and it's got knots in it, and you just got to get a knife and cut it. It's got to be a very sharp knife to get through that. So the Sanskrit word used here is ukti, U-K-T-I. And that word, that Sanskrit word means in English, words. So the sharpened words of a sadhu can cut the ties that bind our material life and the material world. And this is why it's so essential to keep good association. This good association will keep us on the path. Our mind tends to waver. That's the nature of mind, accepting and rejecting what will be good for my sense gratification and what won't. So the mind wanders like this, and viewing everything and deciding what's going to bring me enjoyment and what's not. Thus, we become further and further bound materially. So the sadhu, their words cut that binding, cut that knot that ties around our heart. And therefore, it's essential to keep the association of sadhus. And who are those sadhus? All of you. Everyone here. Each of us that are following the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, of Mahaprabhu, sharing our lives as an example of these devotional practices, you're all sadhus. This is the meaning of sadhu. Now Prabhupada says in the beginning, is it in the verse? Of the purport? In the beginning of the purport there, he says, he refers to sadhus and pure devotees as the same. But Prabhupada many times referred to his own disciples as pure devotees too. He did at one point balance that. It's just like a mango. Sometimes it's green, sometimes it's ripe. Either way, it's a mango and you can use it for different things. So, now, many times when I get the opportunity to travel around, which I hope I get the opportunity again in this lifetime, devotees, mostly newer and younger devotees, they'll ask, can you give us the secret to staying in devotional service? I get asked this a lot because I guess, you know, like, I'm an old guy. I've been around for a while, you know. And what this tells me is that there's a lot of devotees that are struggling with their devotional practices and struggling with the idea of staying in the association of devotees. So they want to know the secret. Well, you're doing it. You've been doing it for a long time, so you must know the secret. So what is it? So I always tell them the same thing. Stay in the association of devotees. Don't put yourself outside the association of devotees. Prabhupada says it like this also. In one lecture in 1972, Prabhupada says, even sometimes we tell someone, now you must leave, you cannot stay with us. But they cannot go away. They come back to the association. This association is so nice, one cannot give it up. So this is essential to have this proper association. Prabhupada says in the fifth canto that anyone who thinks that they can make success in Krishna consciousness by living outside of this ISKCON society, the association of sadhus, is living in an hallucination. He uses that word, hallucination. It simply cannot be done. We have to associate with Prabhupada's structure. Whether we associate in the immediate daily way like this, or whether we associate by nowadays, you know, many with this whole pandemic thing, we all learned a new way of associating. You know, so many classes online, so many lectures, you know, through the internet, so many Zoom conferences on devotional topics. You know, in this way, our opportunity for association took another avenue. But this is the essence, the importance of this association, that without good association, we can't stay strong. You know, it's just, it's not possible. So, therefore, we have to make an endeavor to keep the association. You know, some of us are very fortunate that we have this opportunity to come daily to these classes, to tune in daily to them, to associate in a community like Alachua, you know, growing all the time, more and more people, newer and newer faces, expanding, you know. And in this way, the association with Vaishnavas continues. So if we can't stay in association with like-minded persons, it means that no more do we have that funneling direction in our activities, in our consciousness. You know. The opportunity for sense gratification is everywhere in the world. But if to pursue that opportunity for sense gratification, we have to possibly embarrass ourselves in front of our fellow Vaishnavas, then hopefully it gives us reason to think twice about it. You know? This doesn't mean that everyone will be our bosom buddy and our confidant. We have to have intelligence about how we associate. And I can never remember who, it's either Rupa Goswami or Haridas Thakur, one or the other, but they give the example of four ways that we associate with devotees. One is that we relate to them as a senior and we share our association and guidance. The second is we relate to them as ourselves being the junior and we seek their association and guidance. The third is that we relate to someone as an equal and we share our heart and our mind and confidence with them. And the fourth is that we respect them from a distance but don't mix with them. So these are the four different ways that we associate with devotees that are given. And we have to have the common sense and intelligence to do so. One of my favorite letters from Srila Prabhupada, somebody had written to Prabhupada, some, you know, back in the beginning, it must have been like 20 questions. What about this and what about that? How do we do this and how do we do that? And Prabhupada answered every one. And then at the end of the letter, Prabhupada put a little caveat. In the final analysis, use your common sense. And if you don't have any, find someone that does. So, as we say nowadays, common sense isn't so common. But at any rate, we have to have some common sense in how we associate with each other. Note, in these four ways of association, not one of them gives the permission to gossip, criticize, or fault-find other Vaishnavas. These activities do not constitute the behavior of a sadhu. If we want to consider ourselves a sadhu, if we want to consider ourselves in following the path of the sadhus, we have to give up these three activities. Associating with or being exemplary in the actions of a sadhu never involve these three activities: gossip, criticizing, and fault-finding. Here we go. From that same list, a householder's duties, item number four. The one I'm looking for is at the end here. But one should never misappropriate another's property, nor treat anyone unkindly. One should always speak in a friendly tone and should only speak the truth. One should never openly discuss another's faults. It's not that people don't have faults. It's not our business to gossip about them, to criticize them, to fault find people, to make a habit of it, to make a lifestyle of it. We'll just leave that at that. So, in that way, we can understand what is the proper behavior of a Vaishnava. What is the example of a Vaishnava? And now, as mentioned earlier, we have many such examples in our day-to-day in the honoring of different Vaishnavas. And I'd like to speak a few words about some of them. I mean, I've given 2, 3, 4 day classes on some of these individuals. So I decided, no, that's not going to be possible. We'll just do a few tidbits. So today is the appearance day of Radha Ramanji. On Nrisimha Chaturdasi, there was one very wealthy man who went around to each of the Goswamis in Vrindavan and gave them clothing, deity clothes, for their outfits for the deities, and necklaces, and garland, and jewels, and crowns like that. And likewise, he also went to Gopabhatta. Gopabhatta at the time was worshipping 12 Shalagrams he acquired from Nepal. And that's a whole another story. But in any way, he was worshipping him. And as any of you know, and those of us that are worshipping Shalagram know, there's not much facility for dresses and, you know, chudders and necklaces and like that. I mean, it can be done, but it's not in the same way. So Gopabhatta took these items. And he had a little basket he worshipped these Shilas in. He didn't have any big elaborate throne. He had a nice straw basket, tulsis and a little cloth in there. And he placed these items before. And this is in the end of the evening, at the end of Nisringa Chaturdashi day. I said, "My dear Lord," he said, "I have a desire to offer these things to you, but, you know, you've come to me in this form, so what to do?" So he put his hand in his bead bag and chanted. A little bit of rest. Before he went to sleep, he covered the deities with a cloth like he was prone to do. He woke up the next morning, and by the desire of Gopabhatta Goswami, by the intensity of his love for Krishna, by his hankering to offer these items, the Damodar Shila of his 12 had manifested into the form of Radharamanji. Most beautiful form. And actually, if during the Abhishek ceremony, that's today, and during the Janmashtami Abhishek, they bring Radharaman quite forward from his usual place on their altar a bit back. And if you stand to the far left-hand side of the altar, you can see the Damodar Shila on his back that he sprouted from, so to speak. I've seen it. So, in this way, Radharaman manifested for the pleasure of Gopabhatta Goswami and for the pleasure of everyone. There's a whole long list of details about Radharaman and his worship that I have notes on, and what the daily menu is and what's kept in their treasury and how the pujari gets jewels from the treasury if they want to. I'll cover that point real quick. Your session for dressing, there's five families that take care of the Radharama deity. They each have a period of time, 4 to 8 weeks, something like that, where they do the worship. And everything that Radharaman owns is kept in a treasury, locked up. A big room with almirahs in there, cabinets with locks on it. So to get into that room, there's a board of trustees. And so for your particular seva, you want to offer the gold necklace that came from the king of Jaipur that has rubies with four sets of emeralds in it, like that, whatever. So you go to the treasurers. There's five of them, and the door to the treasury of Radharaman has five locks on it. Each one is a separate key. All five of them have to be there. They open. You go in. Then you go to the particular cabinets where everything is stored. They have three locks on them. Three of the trustees open those locks, and two are making notes. One set of notes is a signed receipt that you as the pujari will sign. I have taken such and such jewelry, I have taken such and such crown, I have taken such and such ankle bracelets. You sign, they keep a copy, you have a copy. When your seva is finished, you go back that same process and return those items. They're your responsibility. They come up missing, you're on the hook. And these are not imitation jewelry. This is all real gold and jewels and like that. So then you return. You give everything. You get a signed seat receipt that you were given these back, and you hold on to that. 3 months later, something's missing. Oh, the last person who used it was so-and-so. We're coming to you because, no, I have the receipt. I signed it. I returned it. So this is the system that has been followed for some hundreds of years, the Radharaman Temple, on how Shringar is offered to the deities, among so many other amazing systems. So this is the history that goes to Radharamanji deities. Prabhupada was always very impressed with the worship at Radharaman and recommended that we should learn deity worship from them. And I was very fortunate to get the association of Vishnambhar Goswami and get some very nice instructions from him on how to worship. Another personality we're observing today is Parmeshwar Das Thakur. What can one say about Parmeshwar Das Thakur? He was one of the Dadasa Gopal associates of Lord Nityananda, one of the 12 cowherd boys. And each of these cowherd boys had amazing qualities, particular mystic powers, as was mentioned. He brought a jackal back to life that had been thrown in there to, as an insult. But the interesting thing about Parameshwar Das Thakur, Chaitanya Charitamrita says that simply by saying the name of Parameshwar Das Thakur, one develops prema. So, very loudly, please. Parameshwar Das Thakur! Parameshwar Das Thakur! Parameshwar Das Thakur! Simply by saying his name, Lord of God. You feel it? Maybe I have to say it a few more times. Also today, Madhavendra Puri. How can a desire tree from Krishna Leela incarnate into a person in Gaura Leela? Amazing. If that person incarnates as the symbolic tree of bhakti from which Mahaprabhu manifested his prema, well, that's how it's done. Madhavendra Puri actually introduced the concept of Madhurya Bhav into the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. Madhavendra Puri sowed this seed of prema bhakti, and Sri Chaitanya became the towering tree of that seed and dropped the honey-like fruits of prema from that tree to everyone so that everyone could enjoy it. He also revealed this mood of separation in Krishna. He exemplified this as he was departing from this world. His disciples, Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, Ishvara Puri. Let me just quote what Nityananda says about Madhavendra Puri. When the two met, Nityananda, as you know, had left home at an early age and was traveling all over India. And then he met Madhavendra Puri, who was traveling with 12 of his sannyasi associates. And when the two of them saw each other, prema just manifested itself. And they embraced each other and fell to the ground and rolled and tears coming and the ground became muddy with the perspiration from the... I mean, it was just amazing display. So Nityananda said this about meeting Madhavendra Puri. Today, I have obtained the complete fulfillment of all my pilgrimages, whatever I have performed, because today my eyes have beheld the holy lotus feet of Madhavendra Puri. My life is glorified by witnessing his divine love. So, Nityananda had this to say about Madhavendra Puri, such an important personality. There's all these seniors that appear before Mahaprabhu that play such a significant role in his pastimes. And Madhavendra Puri is, of course, one of them. And then we have Srinivasacharya. I gave a class in Vrindavan at Srinivasacharya Samadhi, and I was only able to cover a portion of the class. And Indra Maharaj chastised me. He said, you left out all the good parts. I said, those are for tonight. You can come to the gardens and hear those. So much information is there. I don't know how to speak about him, but, you know, this is such an amazing personality. His birth was ordained, predicted, and blessed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Actually, by Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a dear, dear disciple of Gopapatta Goswami, and he was trained in all the Bhakti Shastras by Jiva Goswami. He was also then deputed by Jiva Goswami on behalf of Janava Ma to fulfill her desire of bringing all the Bhakti Shastras to Bengal in the association of Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Pandit. He transported all of those Bhakti Shastras. Such a serious responsibility, seeing that they all made it that way. And of course, all the adventures that took place have been being stolen and refound and so on and so on and so on. He eventually settled down in East Bengal. Converted many, many persons, both theists and atheists. He married two wives, ordained by the personality of Godhead to do so. Had six children, all of whom were initiating gurus, men and women alike. Three daughters and three sons. He assisted Narottam Das Thakur in the installation of the six deities, the famous Dethuri festival. As a matter of fact, he was the main Purohit. He was expert in performing different types of pujas and installations and all that type of thing. You know, he was blessed to meet Parameshwar Das Thakur, amazingly so, as we mentioned to this day. And then Parameshwar Das Thakur took him and introduced him to Janabamata, Vasudhamata, and Virashandra, the son of Nityananda. And Janabamata did the most amazing thing. She placed her lotus feet upon his head. Imagine that. Bow down at the lotus feet of... I mean, first of all, you see Janabamata. Then you bow down at the lotus feet, and then while you're down there, she puts her feet on you. The wife of Lord Nityananda. Amazing. He was... His most dear disciple was Ramchandra Kaviraj. And through great pain of separation, but great love for Narottam, he turned Ramchandra Kaviraj over to Narottam Das Thakur. And Ramchandra Kaviraj became the close associate and confidant of Narottam Das Thakur in all of his pastimes. And they preached together side by side. And even though Ramchandra Kaviraj was technically the junior to Narottam, Narottam treated him as an equal. And they would initiate side by side, they would preach side by side, they'd live side by side, everything. Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Ramchandra Kaviraj, he says, were like one heart and mind. And just near the end, after the departure of these personalities, Narottam Das Thakur wrote Doyakoru Chi Acharya, Prabhu Srinivas, Ramchandra Mother Narottam Das. O Master Srinivas, be merciful to me. Narottam always prays for the association of Ramchandra Kaviraj. So Srinivas was a very, very important personality. As I mentioned, each of these individuals have so many different leelas. We can, should, not can, we should spend the day as much as we're able to reading about them, learning about them. Madhavendrapuri's finding of the Gopal deity, Madhavendrapuri's useless disciple, Ramchandra Kaviraj, and his most worthy disciple, Ishwar Puri. Srinivasacharya's travels and his preaching and his saving the books and so on and so on and so on. So many wonderful personalities. But above all, Parameshwar Das Thakur Ki Jai. Maybe love of God will manifest. So thank you very much. We appreciate it. If anyone has any comments, questions, corrections, give Prabhu right off the bat there something.
Radhaman's menu?
I do have it, yeah.
Any? Can you give us a little...
I don't have it memorized.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
You had it there in front.
But yeah, I've got it. I sat down with Vishambhar Goswami. He said, okay, at breakfast eat this, at lunch eat this, and da, 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 da.
And this,
it's seven types of this prepared in this way. This is mixed with that. That's mixed. He was very detailed with me.
Yeah. One of these days you
the
sure.
Fires in the kitchen of Radhaman have burned nonstop for over 400 years. I get to get the darshan of those fires once. You can't go in the kitchen. It's not like here, just anybody wanders in the kitchen. You know, I mean, you're not even allowed outside the door, outside the kitchen. You know, so, but, yeah, yeah. You want me up?
Just two things. One is that we're speaking about Vidura, and actually he had a history of trying to change the heart of Dhritarashtra. He would...
The history of
trying to change the heart of Dhritarashtra.
Yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't like a one-time thing.
No. This was why he got thrown out of the house.
Yes.
Dhritarashtra's son, like, who are you? You're just some sudra's, you know. I mean, all right, you're the uncle, but not get out. So no, he spent his whole life doing this. You know, this was his goal to save his brother. But we're capsulizing, of course, on these particular verses and pastime here where it finally sunk home with Dhritarashtra. Finally, he got the, oh, you know, ding, the light went off. All right, pack it up, we're going. Boom, howdy night.
My other thing is just a suggestion that when these devotees come up and say, how do you remain in Krishna consciousness? Maybe you could continue to give them your association by letters or other ways.
Oh, I do. Okay. I do, yeah. Yeah, it's not just a, yep, just hang with associates. My wife will tell you, too much of my time is spent corresponding. Is that it? We're done? All right. Thank you very much for this opportunity to glorify the Lord and his devotees. And Jai Srimad Bhagavatam.